welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
But it's really great to be in the house of God, isn't it? And together. I just want to pick up on what we were ministering on last, I think 2 weeks, but certainly last week. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We so need the Holy Spirit. Saved people and unsaved people alike need the Holy Spirit. Whilst we've touched a little bit, I'll just lay a bit of a backdrop to what we have touched so far. But let me just say this. You cannot be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot go to heaven without receiving the Holy Ghost. The first level of receiving the Holy Ghost is to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Bible says. And the promise that one is sealed with is a promise that God gives as a result to anyone that asks Jesus Christ into their lives as their Savior on the basis that they realize that they are sinners and need a Savior. That there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And such a person that comes to terms with that and realizes that Jesus Christ went to the cross, died, and rose again for one reason, that you and I could bypass hell and go direct to heaven. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and the God made that possible through His love for us and in and through Jesus Christ. And so, we all need the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved, you need the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. It's the same person. The Holy Spirit, as we've said, is part of the Godhead. He is the third part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. They are complete in each other. Three separate persons, yet in one. There's the mystery that the Bible speaks of. But there's no mystery when we start to function with a revelation of each one. The Father who created the heavens and earth. The Father who has the master plan for everything and everyone. The Son that came to make sure that that master plan could be embraced by you and me and anyone on the planet, good or bad. Because Jesus Christ paid the price for our failure, our shortcomings, our sin, our guilt, our shame, the things that the enemy has caused us to do and receive in our lives because he is out to come to steal and kill and destroy us. But God came that we might have life. So he sent his son, Jesus. So Jesus is the one that was sacrificed for our sin, for your sin and mine. The Holy Spirit, the executive of the Godhead. Whatever God has said, he moves into action to fulfill it. He was brooding on the waters in Genesis 1, just as the Father was there and Jesus was there. We mentioned John's Gospel chapter 1, where it tells us about the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. And we beheld his glory. That's John 14 says that. Jesus was in the beginning with God. He is the Word. This is Jesus. This is the Word. Jesus is the Word. This is the written Word describing him, everything about him. As you've heard me say, and you may have read yourself, the Bible says in the volume of this book, it's written of me, says Jesus. This book is about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, from cover to cover. Hallelujah. That's why if we believe God, we have total authority to be able to believe every word in this book. We don't appeal to the intellect of mind. We don't appeal to the learnings of men. We don't appeal even to history to collaborate this word. This word is a stand-alone word. Hallelujah. This word came into being because God is God. The whole planet came into being. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "For God formed this world, framed the world by the words of his mouth. Genesis 1, the Bible says, he said, let there be, and there was. God brought everything to pass by the words of his mouth. He spoke it. The Holy Spirit went and fulfilled it. Now, I don't want to get trapped here. I'd like to go a little bit further this morning. But listen to this. What does that mean to you and I? If what God says, the Holy Spirit goes and carries out, what does that mean about the power that's in this word? Because God said it. God spoke it into being. So if God spoke this into being, what do you think is going to happen if somebody else believes it enough to speak it out and believe it and live by it? Having given their heart to the Lord, they stand and they say, I'm born again. What do you mean you're born again? I'm born again by the Spirit of God. Whether they understand that or not doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But it does because I believe the Word. It says it in the Word. So what does that mean? If I say what God says, what's going to happen? Something's going to happen. What do you think that other something is? The Holy Spirit is going to go in action to carry out the fulfilling of that word in my life. This Bible tells me that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm whole, I'm healed. If I speak those words out, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to go into action and deal with the sickness and the disease. Is that right? The Holy Spirit's work is an awesome work. It's no greater than the Father and the Son. Of course, without the Father, there's going to be no ministry of the Son. Without the Father's plans and strategies, what He's spoken into being, there's going to be no ministry for the Holy Spirit, even though they exist. They all have their own ministry, and yet they're one. Three separate persons in one. We can prove that. If we had time, that's not what I'm here to do this morning. We can show that they all have a mind, that they all have a will. They're separate. That's awesome to know. So we talked about the Holy Spirit. Last time we talked about his importance. We talked about the fact that he is the one that the Father and the Son protects. You know, the Bible says that we can say anything about the Father and anything about the Son, and it could be forgiven us if you ask, but you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit and there's no forgiveness for you. Why? Because of who he is. He doesn't fight for himself. He is sensitive. We said, I think, last week that the four Gospels, each of the writers of the four Gospels spoke about the Holy Spirit and likened him individually to a dove. We spoke about it last week. And then we looked at what does that mean? Why was he likened to a dove? And then we considered the dove. We considered the fact that a dove would move at the slightest movement. He would move away, fly away. Slightest thing would move. He's highly sensitive. He is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all in one. And all the three are holy, harmless, and undefiled. He cannot play around with sin. He cannot live where sin is. He cannot. He cannot. And so we looked at that. We saw that one of the interesting aspects of a dove is it doesn't have a gallbladder. There's no bile within him. There is no need for that excretion of that pus and stuff within the life. He is spotless. Praise God. We looked at another aspect, just talking very quickly now, about the two wings. Each wing has nine major feathers on it. And they speak to us of something, because the Bible, strangely enough, talks about something that belongs to the Holy Spirit, and there's nine of them. Well, there's 18. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And there are nine fruit that God's looking for in your life and mine. He also lets us know what are not the fruit of the Spirit. If we want to, we can measure ourselves and see if we are walking in the Spirit. And on the other hand, there are nine gifts of the Spirit. These are spiritual gifts. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, and so on. There are nine of them. And God wants us to operate within those. Why does he? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that will operate them. They can only operate in the person of a born believer's life. Spirit-filled person's life. But we're talking about and majoring on the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now. And so that's important. So the power of the Holy Spirit is totally unlimited. Hallelujah. When God said, oh, which one shall we? When God says, let there be light, the Holy Spirit went into action and he put a sun and a moon into space. Just like that. We spent trillions of dollars trying to give some consideration to the moon and even get there. The Holy Spirit just put it there. It might seem humorous, but I'm trying to let you know how awesome the Holy Spirit is. When God spoke, the Holy Spirit's ministry was to go and carry out what he said. You and I need the Holy Ghost. You need to be sealed with that promise of the Holy Spirit because you never break the promise. What's the promise? That if you give your life to Jesus, your sins are forgiven and heaven's your home. That promise in my life is yet to be experienced. But I believe it. I believe because I knelt before God and came to a place where I realized that I was a sinner, all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. The salary for sin is death. And I knelt down and says, Lord, I don't understand all of this, but I believe that you're God and I believe that this is your word. Please come into my life as my Savior. Forgive me my sins and teach me how to live for you. That moment, the Holy Spirit went into action. My name was scrubbed out of the book of sin and death and hell, and it was as quickly written into the Lamb's book of life where I'm heaven bound and I'm a child of the living God. Hallelujah. In that same split second of a second, the giftings of God were placed upon me. That were my portion in life. That's where I fit into his house. It's where you fit into his house. All of that happened and took place there and then. I had to find it out later. I'm still finding out some of that stuff. But that's the work of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit, let me just go back and simply say, he is awesome. We need to know about it. We need him in our lives. And those of us that have him in our lives, we need to honor him. We need to honor him. We need to give him his place. Give him his place. Your life will change. Your circumstances can continue to change. And God's plan and purpose for your life will find fulfillment and fruition, and you'll be a fruit bearer. You will touch the lives of others, because all of it comes out of love. And our giftings and our ministries mean nothing and achieve nothing without them coming out of love. Love has no issues. Love forgives. Oh, love forgives. There's no issue. Forgive. How can love, if it's in you and me, forgive so easily? Simply because we've been forgiven more than anybody could imagine. We keep it to ourselves. But Father forgave it, and then he put it in the sea of his forgetfulness. But he took it away. And if we can't love each other with the way God loved us, our giftings, our ministers can never really flow. They flow as we feel they can, and we're willing to let them. But God, and I'm going to hopefully get there, God has more than a thoughtful concept that he wants you to have about that. He wants you to know this, that there's a river of dynamic, powerful force living inside of you. And it's that river that wants to carry all the deposits of God that is given to you through Christ. And they're there to function in his house for his glory and the blessing of people. Hallelujah. But it can only come out of love. You see, love doesn't discriminate. Love doesn't say to this one yes and to that one no. Love is love. Love is a force that people are willing to dump on because they love. But it's the greatest force there ever has been. It's who God is. God is love. He wasn't made love. He is love. Every aspect of his being, his whole DNA is love. Hallelujah. A bruised reed he wouldn't break, in a smoking flax, the Bible says, he would not quench. Love. 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 And our giftings flow out of that. But our giftings come by the Holy Ghost. Our giftings are able to function because of the Holy Ghost. So they come out of us, but it's because we allow him who's in us to do whatever he's called us to do and function the way he's called us to function. Hallelujah. Let me turn you to a scripture. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is a powerful scripture. So he answered. This is Zechariah, as a minor prophet, but God spoke through him, and in this case, he spoke to him, and he answered to him, and he said, God said to me, we've broken in, remember, that's why it says, so he answered. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, what it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was the son of the ruler of Judah, let's say, the ruler of Judah. It was a son of the ruler of Judah. And here God comes along to this Zerubbabel. No major person, but God comes along and gets hold of this man. It's a little bit like he came along and he got hold of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was just a cupbearer. Just a cupbearer. But news came to him. He was in slavery. He was serving the king, being the king's cupbearer. But word came that Jerusalem was in a bad state. His home city, the city of Jerusalem, the city of his God. The walls were pulled down. The gates had been burnt. And this man, this cupbearer, suddenly finds it in his heart rising up, I've got to go back and rebuild those walls. I've got to go and do something about the city of Jerusalem, the city of my God. He wasn't somebody who was trained in warfare. He wasn't a builder. He was given the job of a cupbearer. He was just somebody, and the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to the king, I need to go. Can I get some leave? He was in slavery. Can I get some leave from bearing the cup for you? I want to go home. Why do you want to go home? Because the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the city of God, fallen down. And they're just wasting. The city is in ruins. I want to go back and restore it. Oh. Could you imagine going and ask the king who is the one that did the destruction on his city? And he is captive to, and he's a cupbearer of. And you go and ask him I want to go back and clean up the mess you left behind there. That's in essence what it was. No skills. And because of his heart towards God moved in there, and he had the favor of God, who was now working on the king, and he gave him permission. He said, thank you for how much time you want? I don't know. He says, okay. He said, can I ask you for something else, king? He says, would you give me letters in writing that I can give it to all the important people as I travel, and when I get there, that they will let me do it, that they will give me the money, that they'll give me the goods that I need to build the walls? And the king gave him the letter to go and take to whoever he needed to. He would give this man what he wanted. Wow. God just came to an ordinary man. Would you open your heart to let God come to you and say, I'd like to use you? Because that's what happened. He was a Zerubbabel. The word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. He was just the son of the ruler of Judah. And the word of God came to him. Listen to what it says. And so he answered, this is following the exchange, as we've said in verse 5. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Anyone worth their salt as a Christian knows that passage. Do you know what it means? Do you understand the import of it? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. I started off by saying we need to understand how much we need the Holy Spirit. He's the executive of the Godhead. He carries out the word that God has spoken. You've heard me talk about the double-edged sword in Hebrews 4:11, where the Bible speaks about the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to divide between soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that word sword there is a double-edged sword. And that double-edged sword in the Greek means this, a twice-spoken word. Well, God spoke this word the first time. You've heard me say this time and time again. I say it because we need to get into our spirit, not our head, our spirit. God spoke this word the first time. So the second time that word spoken is when you or I speak what he said and believe it. That's that double-edged sword. That's that twice-spoken word. That's that double-tongued sword. God said it, I've said it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, believe. Therefore, we speak. If you believe that you're healed when everything about you is saying you're sick, you believe that you're healed. And it comes out of your mouth. Why? Because God's already spoken it. When we do that believing, the Holy Spirit goes into action. Who do you think puts his foot upon the neck of the enemy? Who do you think it is that goes in there and gets the germ and destroys it? The powder they gave you at the clinic or somewhere? For the believer, it's the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome! It's awesome! I'm saying this, and I'm getting goose feelings all over me. Well, whatever you want to describe it as. It's overwhelming, church. I can scarcely take it in, and I'm saying it. I mean it. What an awesome God we have. I want more of what I'm saying here this morning. What an awesome God we have. Look what he said to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel wasn't in line. He was no important person, only as much as his dad was. And so therefore, maybe he had a bit of favor with his dad. But the word of the Lord from God through Zechariah came to Zerubbabel. What was it? Zerubbabel. And look what he likened it out to. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Can we go on to verse 7? Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Hallelujah. In other words, he was simply saying, and what you have to understand, and I need to give you a backdrop, I suppose. What you have to understand is the setting in which all this took place. They were still trying to rebuild the temple. They were struggling still to do this. After all this time, there were so many obstacles. There were so many hindrances. And God took hold of this man out of the blue, used his name through the prophet Zechariah, and he said, who are you, O great mountain? Now you can take that term there to be speaking of whatever it is that's holding your life up, that's causing you headaches, that is a problem, and in this case, whatever it is that's not enabling them to finish building the walls, build the temple. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall be a plain, just level with the ground. How could that come about? How could that come about? And Zerubbabel shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. It's finished, in other words. How could that come about? Because it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Those are two interesting words, by the way. You should look them up in the Greek. In the Hebrew. Not by might. It means not according to how much finance you've got or ability to manipulate. Won't do it. Not by power. There's no force that you can gather together. There's no strength that you have or anyone has that you can call upon that can bring you to pass. Nothing can get this job done. But the Holy Spirit can. Hallelujah. Have you ever stood in those terms, those sorts of circumstances and difficulties? Have you ever? Really? What have you done with them? Carried them around with you? Tried to pray into them? Fill your mind with them? Cause you to concern and worry? I've been there. Listen, nothing can shift it. But one. God, the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, how does that work? Well, first of all, you've got to believe God. You've got to believe this word. You've got to believe the Holy Spirit is in the Godhead. You've got to believe His office. First thing. And then you've got to search this word. And if you need some help, ask somebody that can help you. This is my circumstance. What, if anything, does this word say about my problem? And once you find out what God said about your problem, and you, in faith, speak it out on the basis that because of what God said about your problem, it's gone. Then the Holy Ghost can go into operation and make sure it's gone. As far as the east is from the west. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It is. How many are born again here? I am. Was it simple for you to get saved? I told you, you've heard me say when I've testified about my testimony, I was on my knees for less than a minute. Less than a minute. But it came from my heart. It was belief that I believe what I was asking for. In less than a minute, I was back in my seat, my car back under my seat, back under me, and back at the driving seat. In less than a minute, and with an incredible peace, having had an encounter with God, by and through, completely, faith. I simply believed it. And it was done. I was born again. That moment I became a new creation. All things have passed away, and suddenly, in a moment, all things became new. I simply had to say, to the Lord, and I said exactly this, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you. Now, Lord God, teach me how you want me to live for you. And from that day, I'm still on the journey. That's what happened. And in as long as it took me to say that, I was in love with God. Never changed. It's been something that's happened here. Didn't happen here, happened here. Anything that comes out of this, it's coming out of this. But it's the miracle power of God, the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to press home to you how important the Holy Spirit is. We're going to come, not today, we're not going to get time. We're going to come to a time when for those who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you're willing, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray, if you're not sealed with the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you. If you're not born again, we want to pray for you. The work is the work of the Holy Spirit, but He can do nothing till we line ourselves up with this word and say, oh, that's lacking in my life. And come to Him on the basis of this word and let the Holy Spirit do it. That's too simple, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, within 40 seconds, I was flying at quite a speed towards hell. And quicker than the blink of an eye, I changed direction. I was on a fast course to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been on that course for about 4 years. No, I'm just joking. A long time. The Holy Spirit is so awesome. Let's go somewhere else in Scripture. Let's go to, yes, in the light of this, it's not by might or by power, not by any cleverness on your part. Money can't do it. Brute force can't do it. Nothing can do it. Only the Holy Ghost. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 7, I think verse 38. Can we put that up just? John 7:38. Okay, John 7:38. Jesus is speaking here. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being or out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, but because Jesus was not yet glorified. There was no salvation and no redemption in Jesus until Jesus rose again from the dead and was glorified and sitting in the right hand of God. But this is what the scripture says. This is the promise that Jesus made. Praise God, isn't that awesome? This is his promise. Out of your innermost being, the King James says, out of your belly, the King James says, I think the New King James says, out of your heart, maybe, but anyway, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Think of that. Rivers of life coming out of you. Now, they're not liquid rivers. What is it? It's rivers of anointing. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's like a force that would be brought about by, if you can imagine, a river flowing. If you've seen a river of any magnitude, width flowing, it's got some force behind it. The wider it is, probably the bigger the flow. But he says, for you and I that believe, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of life. Rivers of spiritual life. And he goes on to qualify it. This spoke he concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. But he is given today, because we'll get there and talk about the day of Pentecost, where this all started. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter Sunday. 50 days. It's the Feast of Pentecost. They had the Feast of Pentecost because before it was applied to the person of the Holy Spirit. And on that time, the power of God came down among us. And we experienced something awesome. Turn with me. Can we put up John's Gospel, chapter 12? Chapter 14, please. John 14. And could we go to, maybe it's 12. I'm going to start turning my own Bible, I think. It's not that you're not doing a great job down there. It's look at this in John 14. Look what he says. Now, we're talking about power. We're talking about a power that's bigger than the power or the might that God was speaking of when he spoke through Zechariah to Zerubbabel. Not by might or power, but by my Spirit. We're talking about a power that's greater than any of that. The power of the Holy Ghost. And here, Jesus says to us in verse 12, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who, here it is, believes. He who believes in me. Belief isn't a nod of the head. Isn't a piece of information that you can talk about. Believing is taking the word of God, acting upon it, placing your life on its dependency, and seeing what God said concerning it fulfilled. Verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whoa. Isn't that a powerful word? Does Jesus tell lies? So he was giving us another promise here. He was opening us up to something else that's available to those that believe. Those that believe. He brought into our realm parity with himself. We can do what he can do, does. And then he made a bolder statement. He says, and greater things than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. How is this possible? Well, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Isn't it interesting, therefore, that he this then goes on to say, I want to tell you something. I'm going to leave you soon. And it's important that I go away. You read it in this passage here. And it's important that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, can't come. Isn't that awesome? So he has now made a statement, a big statement. It says, the things that I do, shall you do, future. Shall you do, future. Yes? The things that I'm doing, you're going to do these things. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to begin to explain to us why. He said, I have to go away that the Holy Spirit, or he called him the Comforter, can come. I have to go. I have to go. He has done his work. And until the Holy Spirit came, having done his work, only for a short period of time, he did the work of the Holy Spirit. He comforted the saints of the time. He ministered to them. He encouraged them. You read how he worked and spoke and built up the disciples' faith. He said, but I'm going that the Holy Spirit can come. What's this telling us? That the way that we are able to function and do greater things than he has done, or even do the miracles and things that he has done, is by the through the Holy Spirit. And he's with us today. Don't forget, we're talking about the importance of the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, he's been so relegated. He's been so relegated. He's been a name that's been bandied around when people have talked about power in the things of God. They associate him with that power. But we need to reverence him as we reverence the Savior and as we reverence the Father. Because his office we need today. Because God isn't here, the Father isn't. God the Son isn't here. But praise God, God is here. The Holy Spirit works in and works through you and me. And he functions through us by faith, acknowledging the Holy Spirit. Do you talk to him much? I want to encourage you to talk to him. I talk to the Father. I talk to the Son. I talk all three of them. I'm greedy. I just want more of them. I'm serious. And sometimes when I'm talking to them, I'm saying, Lord, is this okay? You know, I'm talking to you. Talk to the Holy Spirit, and I talk to Jesus. He's not here, but he's done so wonderful things in my life and for me. I just talk to him because they are one, remember. And whether I've missed out on my theology or not, I'm having an awesome time. He's God. He's God. And we're dealing with something which is not so often touched. We talk about the work of Jesus and so vital and so important. But the person, ministry of the Holy Spirit is what God the Father, God the Son, left in the hands of the Holy Spirit to finish off in this end day. He is dealing with all the crises. He's dealing with everything that's out there. Look at this abortion act. Look at the same-sex marriage that they're trying to put on our land. He's dealing with all of that. The Holy Spirit's doing the whole lot. It can only move as we release him to. That's why the prayer meeting is important. That's why your prayer time each day with him for you is important. It's important. And we can move on and we can enjoy God. I'm going to turn you to one more scripture quickly and we will close. I think we should turn here. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let's go to verse 8. Can we maybe put it up? Or maybe. Anyway, you can put it up. Acts 1, verse 8, very quickly. So it'll add a bit of closure to what we've been talking about this morning. Acts 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit, remember, couldn't come until Jesus had been glorified. He had to be resurrected and
then glorified. But let's go to Acts 1 and 8. And here in Acts 1, we are reading the writings of Luke the physician, who wrote the book of Acts, and also, of course, the Gospel of Luke. He wrote in chapter 1, verse 3. Well, let's go from 1 to 5 to get the introduction. The former account, O Theophilus, this is Luke writing, of all that Jesus, now listen to this carefully, this is an account of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, this book of Acts, until the day in which he was taken up, and given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, in whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own hands. But, I love that but, you shall receive power. Don't you worry about those things in front of you. Don't you worry about those things that are not your responsibility. He wasn't being rude, he wasn't being cheeky. What he was saying was, the Father and I cannot get on with the things that we've got to get on with until you play your part. That's what he was saying. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's stop there for a minute. That verse is so important. He sent us out, church, to salt the earth. We are salt and life. I'm going to be naughty here. How many people did you talk to Jesus about this week? He sent us out to salt this place, into the highways and byways. Verse 9. Sorry. Back to verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now we have a clear record given to us there of the Acts of Jesus, given to us by Luke. What he did was he informed us of what had happened with Jesus before this moment when he gives us this commission. And then he gives us this commission. And in giving us the commission, he told us something that we need to latch onto. He says, you shall receive power. Again, you know it. That word is the word in the Greek, dunamis. Dunamis. It's like taking them from the word dynamite. He says, you shall receive that sort of power. You carry that sort of power. I don't know about you, and I'm not asking you to copy me or follow me. I don't want you to follow me as in the way I walk, if I walk the word of God. But I don't know about you, but when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was something happened to me, something came upon me, that from that day to this, it's maybe waning now, I'm in my 50s, but it was a lot stronger when I was in my 30s and 40s. But that's something I'm talking about. It was a spiritual authority. There was a spiritual force that flowed through me. It wasn't carnal. It came out through my mouth, of course. It probably came out through my approach to various things. But there was an authority that I knew I had, and it wasn't that I didn't know it in my head. I sensed it in my spirit. I had a God-given authority, as every born-again spiritful believer has. We have it. It's a dynamic force. You've heard me say, when I was in the Brethren Church, and thank God for them, I was a young Christian, and they'd ask me sometimes to just get up and read the scriptures so the preacher could preach. And I could hardly get up there. And when I got up there, my knees were knocking, honestly. I thought I was so privileged to be amongst these saints. I had no idea of this word or the rest of it. And my knees shook. I'm serious. When I tell you, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I met the person of the Holy Ghost, I met Jesus as my Savior, but then I met the Holy Spirit and I encountered Him. My life changed. I've never been the same since. Never. Never. I don't want to be the same since. Sure, some people through the years have had some consternation about me and be concerned and put their head in their hands and wanted to cry. I'm sure of that. But you know, I delight in one person doing that. And you've heard me say it. I want the devil, every time he hears a mention of my name, to find somewhere he can sit better than it would be a stub of a tree cut down. Sit on it, put his head in his hands and cry every time. I want my name to really do that to him. Just my name. Not him again. Is he annoyed with you? Does he tolerate you? No problems with you? Well, you need to give him something to have a headache over because of you. Because you're more than a thorn in his side. You've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost in you. It's not you. It's not you. I tell you, when I said to the Lord, I can't enter into ministry, I can't do what you've asked me to do, it was because I was looking at myself. You all think I'm some bold fellow, and you, as long as you've known me, especially my family, will think I'm some bold fellow. You should have known me before. Very gentle in every way. I still am gentle, but very, very, very gentle. I would back off. I'd be like a fly you got near him, he's away. But when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, something happened to me. I didn't do it. I was changed. I had two changes in my life. The new birth brought me peace and joy. Fell in love with God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, fire. 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 I didn't do it. I can have no credit to it. I'm talking this way because God wants us to know the person of the Holy Ghost. He's there all the time. He never changes. We can't act him out. He's got to be free to live out through us. Hallelujah. Are we getting anything? Are we getting anywhere? We've got to know how much we need him. It's not enough to say, but Pastor, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. So if you're that person, I sit down with you and say, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but what does that mean? Well, I speak in tongues. I'd say, well, what does that mean? His presence, his filling of us has got to mean something more than that. It's really got to mean something more than that. Two great things I've encountered in my life, and I put it together with you and I close with the Holy Spirit today. We'll talk more about the Holy Spirit. Two great things that I have had the privilege, by the grace of God, of experiencing, and I trust you have too. One was love, falling in love with God because of his great grace toward me, his great mercy. Falling in love with him. And the other one is being baptized in the Holy Ghost and being privileged to be indwelt by the very power of God. I could limit him or I could expose him. Choice was mine. The two great things. You cannot put a price on that in my life. No one, the world hasn't got enough money to put a price on both of those or either of them. It's God, God alone. It is not by might or power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We need him. You need him. This church needs him. Our town needs him. Our land needs him. And you and I here, even those of us that are here, we're more than enough to turn our town and our county upside down and our nation. We've seen what can be done in past years in a nation. We've seen it. And we can do it again. We can do it again. But it's not by power or might of man. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And for the Holy Spirit to function, you have to get out of the way. You have to get out of the way. Two things you and I must have. It's love flowing through us and flowing from us. And it's the anointing of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. Out of your belly, out of my belly, flowing rivers of living water. But it's not rushing water. It's something far more powerful. This spake he of the force of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.